from a diagnostic point of view, from a care delivery point of view, from a capacity point of view. Having the flu and COVID-19 surge in the Commonwealth at exactly the same time would be an incredibly difficult situation.
From a BS point of view, yeah, we can't have both. From a BS point of view, you've got to take the flu vaccine. So Baker is now saying, this is incredible, forget just wearing a mask now. Forget the social distancing. Forget having lost your job or your business. Forget having the church shut, the churches, synagogues, and mosques shut down. That's not enough. Now the kids have to take a flu vaccine, and he wants all adults to take a flu vaccine. Will you take a flu vaccine this fall? 617-266-6868. A really good email from Larry. Jeff, Charlie Faker says Massachusetts needs to do better in flu vaccinations. The CDC says Massachusetts leads the nation in voluntary vaccinations, 81%. So I didn't know this. 81% of the people in Mass get flu vaccines every year. So I'm part of the 19%. Look, I didn't know that. If they can successfully force you to take a flu vaccination, then they can force a COVID-19 vaccination. Bingo. That's why they're trying to make the flu vaccine mandatory for all kids and increasingly for all adults. If they can force you to wear a mask, they can force you to take the COVID-19 vaccine. If they can force you to take a flu vaccine, they can certainly force you to take a coronavirus vaccine. That's what this is all about. 617-266-6868 is the number. Will you take a flu vaccine? Baker says if you don't, you're letting the whole state down. First responders, nurses, doctors, everybody. You're playing Russian roulette. Are you playing Russian roulette with your life and everybody else's life? Nick in Weymouth. Thanks for holding, Nick, and welcome.
How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Nick.
No, I will not. I will not absorb that crap into my body, nor anyone that's related to me will be allowed to do so if they listen to me. Just wanted to fall back on what you're talking about, the Soros stuff, etc. And the fellow had almost talking about RICO stuff. Well, it's all that stuff has been laid bare for a good RICO investigation, but I don't think it'll ever happen. Last night on Fox, of course, good window dressing, Barr talking about how clips of him talking about Antifa need to be investigated. And then, oh, Christopher Wray, which pretty much told you all, is talking about there have been investigations going on about Antifa. One of the biggest foot draggers, of course, is Christopher Wray. Nothing will happen. With, what, 46 days to go before the election, nothing's going to happen. One final thing about Soros, okay? As it always happens, Rasmussen came out with Trump leading by one on the 16th. Immediately, YouGov, which does this all the time, a British media consultant group, polling group, created and run by uber liberals from Europe, primarily Great Britain, right? They come out with Biden leading by nine with a three-day poll. Right after the Rasmussen, which was a seven-day poll. If you thumb down in history and scroll down, this happens all the time. Whenever Trump shows a gain, he's behind by three or four. YouGov and others, The Economist, by the way, another uber-liberal group, they get involved. They did this poll with YouGov. They immediately try to cloud the situation. But, oh, no, Biden's up by nine. This tells me how crooked the polling pretty much is across the board. It can't be that much disparity. And that's the
Nick,
battle.
I
that
agree.
We're...
Look, and thank you for that call. Look, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but what they're trying to do with the polling is to create a sense of inevitability for Biden. It's so obvious. To demoralize Trump supporters. Why vote? He's up by 9. He's up by 10. He's up by 12. He's up by 15. He's going to win in a massive landslide. Don't even bother voting on Election Day. What's the point? He's going to win. Now, Rasmussen is one of the most accurate of the polls. The latest poll out of Rasmussen, Trump nationally has now pulled ahead 47-46 over Biden. His job approval is 52%. Now, if his job approval holds at 52 and he's ahead plus one in terms of the national the national opinion polls, then he's going to win. He's going to win, and he's going to win maybe not in a popular vote landslide, but he's definitely going to win in an electoral college landslide. So you're right, Nick. The moment the Rasmussen report came out, their poll, about how he had now surpassed Biden nationally and has now got over 50% job approval, suddenly then all these polls come out, oh, no, Biden's up 9, he's up 10, he's up 7, he's up 11. Don't believe the polls. They were wrong in 2016. They're wrong again in 2020. 617-266-6868. Who do you want me to go to next, Brittany? Let's go to Paul in Western Massachusetts. Paul, thanks for holding and welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you, Paul.
I keep asking this question. With this flu shot, you saw all the toxins. Now we might have to take this COVID vaccine. Has anybody done any tests to see how much stuff you're putting in your body?
They should. Because, I mean, Paul, it's... It can't be good for you.
You put a lot of stuff in your body.
Well, Paul, if you don't mind me asking, are you going to take the flu vaccine this year?
No, sir. I've never gotten it. And I've never had the flu. Knock on wood.
Now, Paul, let's say they come out with the coronavirus vaccine. I don't know, November, December, whenever. Are you going to take it?
No, sir. I don't buy a new phone that comes out. And I don't buy a new model car that comes out until I see what it looks like.
I'm the same way. Paul, I am exactly the way you are. I'm like, let other people test drive this. Let them tell me if it works or not.
They got phones that burn up on the front yard when you're charging them. I think I'll wait a little bit.
Yeah. Paul, thank you very much for that call. I swear I'm exactly the same way. You know, there's some people that always got to be the first to get something, you know, which is fine. I mean, but I'm the kind of guy, I'm like, nah, let me wait. You know, I don't need it that bad. Let me wait. So if people want to take the coronavirus vaccine, go ahead. And I want to see if you start developing three eyes, you know, or if a second head, suddenly there's a second head developing. Nah, it's okay. You try it and you tell me how good it works. All right. And then maybe I'll think about it. Tom, red, white, and blue dynamite baby in New Jersey. Thanks for holding, Tom, and welcome.
Jeff, Professor Cooner, exposing George Soros and being able to say that Lucifer's name on the air, that's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
What's on your mind, Tom?
Hey, Jeff, I got a blitz of things. Let's see how many I can get in here. Newt Gingrich, that was absolute censorship. No question about it. That little snot shut him up in a hurry. And I just told Brittany, Jeff, that I listen to your shows, and I won't, I don't think, anymore, out on YouTube. I called you a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned George Soros funding Antifa Black Lives Matter, and those leftist censorers clipped out the word George Soros when I listened to it again on the YouTube. So obviously YouTube is a bunch of leftist censors. And I think I'll stick with your podcast from now on. And Jeff, getting back to Fox, Monica Crowley's no longer on there. She's tremendous. And your guest, your weekly guest, Michelle Malkin, gets very little to no time on Fox.
Oh, I agree. Fox has changed, and it's not changed for the better. That's for sure. Thank you very much for that call. Sarah Sanders is up next. Don't touch that dial. +817 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, cleaning up the liberal bull. Okay, my friends, it is my distinct honor and privilege to have Sarah Sanders. She served as White House Press Secretary under President Trump from 2017 to 2019. She has a new memoir out. It is called or titled Speaking for Myself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives Inside the Trump White House. Sarah Sanders, welcome to the Cooner Report.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Sarah, I got to ask you, why did you decide to write this memoir?
You know, in large part because there have been so many books written about the president and about his administration, and I didn't think any of them reflected what I saw after 2.5 years working side by side with the president every single day of those 2.5 years. I saw a person who loves this country, who's getting up every day and fighting for America and fighting for people that can't fight for themselves. And I loved my job, I loved my colleagues, and I'm proud of the work that we did, and I'm proud of what the president's accomplished. And I thought that America deserved to see a different side, and a side that you definitely will never hear in the mainstream media.
Sarah, if there's one thing you can tell the audience and the country about the kind of person President Trump is, what would it be?
I think the most important thing is that this is a president who is really working hard for all Americans. He was the person who empowered me, defended me, had confidence in me. I was the third woman, the very first mom to ever be the White House press secretary. I was relentlessly attacked by the liberal mob. And it was Donald Trump who helped me get through those difficult moments. It was him who empowered me and, again, gave me that confidence to take on even my harshest critics. And I want people to know that that's the person that's fighting for them every single day, just the way he was fighting for me.
You know, Sarah, I have to say, by the way, I thought you did a phenomenal job as press secretary. I thought you were incredible. What really bothered me was obviously the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that infamous event in which Michelle Wolf, to your face, I mean, just mocked, humiliated you, ridiculed you. And I'm just curious, in retrospect and in the memoir, what do you make of what happened and how so few people in the media came to your defense? Aren't they feminists? Don't they care about women's rights?
Yeah, as long as you agree with them, they care. You know, that was one of the things that was most surprising coming into the White House. You certainly expected policies and agenda and legislation to be challenged, but not you as a person. And I wasn't fully prepared for the type of attacks. I grew up in politics. I know it's a blood sport and a difficult business, but I never anticipated the attacks becoming so personal against me. And my family, and, you know, everything was on the table, my hair, my makeup, my fitness to be a mother, my ability to even bake a pie was something they questioned on a daily basis. And that was surprising. I write about the correspondence dinner and something I've never really publicly talked about. But it certainly was not a fun night, but it was important for me to sit there, hold my head high, and remain proud of the job that we had done. At the end of the day, I thought that doing that said a lot more about who Michelle Wolf was and how her attacks were not going to bring us down than me walking out or, you know, making a scene in some other way. And so that's what I chose to do in the moment. If I had it all to do over again, I'd do the same thing.
If you don't mind me asking, what did President Trump say to you after that?
He had some pretty colorful words, was not a big fan of Michelle Wolf, and reminded me that, you know, not to let these people get to me. One of the most probably impactful moments for me, shortly after kind of all these things that happened, we were in Japan, we're walking into a bilateral meeting with Prime Minister Abe. The president actually stops me, looks me in the eye and says, "Sarah, you're smart. You're beautiful, and the only reason they attack you is because you're good at your job. Don't let them get you down." And he kind of slapped my shoulder and said, "Okay, now let's get to work." And that was all I needed in that moment, to know the president still had trust in me and still wanted me to be the person to deliver his message to the world. And that gave me all the confidence and support and empowerment I needed to keep fighting.
We are talking with Sarah Sanders. She was the former White House press secretary for 2.5 years under President Trump. She has a memoir out. It is called Speaking for Myself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives Inside the Trump White House. Sarah, I want to ask you, I think, a very important question that is on the minds of a lot of people. The Atlantic Monthly piece, the hit piece on the president, alleging 4 anonymous sources saying that the president belittles those who have fought and died in our wars, our fallen heroes, calls them suckers and losers, that apparently he regularly disparages the troops behind their backs. When you were there for 2.5 years, did you see anything remotely similar to that?
No, and I was there that day that the Atlantic story alleges the president to have said those things and was part of the discussion, and he absolutely did not say those things. I've gone on the record and publicly disputed, as have a number of my colleagues, both past and present, and there were only a handful of us there to have witnessed that, and we've all gone on the record to say it, which I think should be a lot more powerful than the pushback of some coward who is making an anonymous charge like that. Not only was I there that day, but like I said, I was by the president's side almost every single day for 2.5 years. I traveled to more than 20 countries, dozens and dozens of states with the president, and watched him interact with the military on the daily basis. And nothing could be further from the truth of how this president feels about our men and women who serve. He has the greatest amount of respect for those people. It's why he has fought to rebuild the military so they would have the resources they need, fought to protect and change and make real reform at the VA. This is a president who loves our veterans. I watched him in a very powerful moment when we were at an event, and a veteran who had lost his arms leaned down towards the president. The president realized he couldn't shake his hand, so he reached up and touched his cheek because he wanted that man to feel the human contact and know that he was with him. I've sat in the Oval Office when the president made condolence calls to families who have lost a son in Afghanistan, and I've watched the emotional toll that it takes on the president. Nothing could be further from the truth than what is written in that story, and I'm proud of the president for what he has done on behalf of the men and women who serve and the way that he has treated them in the 2.5 years that I spent with them.
Sarah, you've got not some pleasant words for John Bolton. He came out with his memoir saying the president was, in his view, unfit to be commander in chief, unfit to be in the White House. What was your impression of Bolton during your time?
Bolton came in kind of with his own agenda. I think sometimes he forgot he wasn't the president and that nobody had ever elected him to anything. They didn't want John Bolton's foreign policy agenda. And certainly he's there to offer advice, but he's not there to drive his own agenda. Donald Trump was elected by 63 million Americans who came out and said they wanted his policies and his vision for the country. And I think so many times John forgot that in the process. There were a number of occasions where he wanted my team and me to put out a statement that we knew was contrary to what the president wanted to do. And he would get pretty upset when those moments happened. So I think he was somebody who kind of got drunk on power and lost in the idea that because he was there, it was somehow his agenda to drive, and it just simply wasn't.
Sarah, we've got 1 minute left. The election, obviously, it's about less than 7 weeks away now. Some polls have Biden up. The Rasmussen poll basically has it as a dead heat. Do you think the president will win re-election?
I definitely think he should. He has demonstrated over the last 4 years that he has the ability to get things done. He has a great record of accomplishment. And moving into the next 4 years, we need somebody who can rebuild our economy coming out of the coronavirus pandemic, Donald Trump has proven he can do that because he's already done it in 4 short years, built one of the strongest economies we've had in our country. We also need somebody who understands the importance of law and order and will stop the chaos that's being unleashed in American cities from coast to coast. Donald Trump has been talking about law and order since day one. That's something that he has credibility to do. Joe Biden has not done it, nor has he even been talking about or recognizing that it's a problem.
Amen. So, amen. We have been talking with Sarah Sanders. Get her book, her memoir, Speaking for Myself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives, Inside the Trump White House. Sarah, thank you, and God bless. .833 here on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, it's all on the table. We can talk Soros, Fox News. Why are they afraid to even mention his name? Baker is now pushing for everyone to take the flu vaccine. He wants everyone on the flu vaccine this fall. He says it's a matter of public safety, protecting healthcare workers, the state, everyone. And he says somehow it's going to help stop the coronavirus. What's the connection between the two? He doesn't provide any evidence, but he's trying to make one. Will you take a flu vaccine? And you just heard my interview with Sarah Sanders. What did you make of it? She was there with Trump in France. She says he never said what the Atlantic Monthly magazine alleged in their hit piece, and that Bolton had his own agenda. He was drunk with power, and he often went rogue. 617-266-6868. It's all on the table. John in Peabody. Thanks for holding, John, and welcome.
The great, no, powerful Kunar. How you doing,
Bill? I'm doing great. How are you, John?
Jeff. Two short questions before I ask the main question. Baker, why is this moron still in power? Soros, can he be charged with war crimes? And secondly, did you think after 4 years, honestly, ask yourself honestly, did you think in 4 years all of this mess would either simmer down or, like Hillary said, it'll stop at nothing until the end?
You mean if Trump wins, there's another 4 years, do you think it'll simmer down or do you think they're going to burn the country down?
No. Do you think in the 4 years when all this was happening, it would ever either just simmer down and just finally fade out, or do you think it's just going to go the full boat until November 3rd?
Oh, no. John, I have to tell you, I thought from the moment Trump won, the day after when Pelosi said, when she was asked by a reporter, so what's next? She says, we impeach. The moment she said that, and the moment they set Trump up as a so-called Russian agent and came up with that complete hoax, that lie of Russia collusion, which was clearly a coup, I said, this is a battle for power. This is a fight to the death. And it's now a question of who wins and who loses. No, I got to tell you, John, to be brutally honest, they're going to continue to burn. They're going to continue to loot. They're going to continue to riot. And now the real dramatic developments have occurred in the last week. Now, the mainstream media doesn't want people to know about this, but the left has now made it clear. The Democrats have made it clear. They have to have Biden win. If Biden does not win, they are now warning everybody, we will burn America to the ground. So what they're, and Barr talked about this explicitly. And this was his words, not mine. We are now at a fork in the road as a country because the Democrats are now extorting us, saying even if Trump wins fair and square, you still have to give the election to Biden because we will not accept a Trump second term. We are going to burn, riot, loot, commit crimes, arson. We are not going to stop. And so, as Barr put it, this is exactly, you know, I'm giving you his words, not mine. This is no longer democracy. This is mob rule. So that's why Hillary Clinton said in that famous podcast, you know, her advice to Joe Biden is, under any circumstances, do not concede. In other words, Even if Trump has won it fair and square, don't concede, because we got to take back power at all costs.
Jeff, Gingrich said it best. The only way to stop all of this is if we bring, if we take everybody out of power. We stop prosecuting, and then the brakes will be hit. Everything will come to a screaming halt, and people will run for their lives. Gingrich is right. You have to start arresting people in power who basically caused all of this. And Jeff, mention Soros' name every day. Just keep mentioning it and bring it up and talk about him and write stories about it. Write rallies. Who cares? Bring up his name. Because I know under Facebook right now, he is under investigation.
Oh, he's a war criminal. There's no question about it. And he belongs
Absolutely.
In handcuffs. John,
Absolutely.
As always, really good call. Thank you for that call, John. Look, first of all, what he did in World War II are crimes against humanity, okay? But let that go. How many governments he's overthrown? How many coups he's personally financed? Now, whatever you think of the prior Ukrainian government, yes, they were pro-Russian, no question about it, but they were democratically elected. That was the Yanukovych regime, really, the Yanukovych government. It was a democratically elected government. Now, what you do is you wait till the next election and you vote them out. Instead, no, they financed a revolution and they overthrew Yanukovych from power. That's what led to Putin sending in the little green men. They annexed Crimea and then they started a civil war in eastern Ukraine, what's called the Donbass area. Now, that was all Soros. And he's done it in country after country after country. What we never imagined is that he would do it here. In his own color revolution here. And that's why it's important to designate Black Lives Matter and Antifa a terrorist organization. Look, you want my opinion? Like I'm in the confessional? Here it is. They know that after November 3rd, if Trump wins, he is going to go after Antifa and Black Lives Matter hard. And he's going to designate both of them as domestic terror groups. Now, once you do that, then you can unleash the floodgates. You can unleash the dogs of war, because then you can look at who's funding them. And they're also then going to be charged with crimes, because then it's like funding ISIS or Al-Qaeda. You're funding a terrorist movement. And you know who's their biggest funder? Soros. Trump is going to play for the entire ballgame. He's playing for keeps. He's going after Soros, and they know it. And that's why they don't want him to win on November 3rd. And that's why now the order has been given. Look, Bill Barr on this is 1,000% correct. We are at a fork in the road. The Democrats are now saying Biden or else. You elect Joe Biden or else. We will not allow a Trump second term. That is mob rule. That is the ultimate culmination of the coup. That's why, for no other reason, now Trump must win. I don't care whether you like him or hate him. This is about preserving our republic. This is about preserving our democracy. This is about preserving the rule of law. Because what they're now telling us is, even if Trump wins this thing in a landslide, free and fair, we will not accept the results, and we are going to burn this country to the ground. We're going to turn all of the country into Portland or Kenosha, simply because we don't want another 4 years of Trump. Now, that's a dictatorship. That's mob rule. That's not democracy. Trump is going to expose all of them, and the head of the snake is Soros. 617-266-6868 is the number. Agree, disagree. I want to hear from you. And I want to ask you, this flu vaccine, now he's mandating all school children to take one, whether their parents want it or not, whether they want it or not, or else they're going to be kicked out of school. And now he's telling all of us, the adults, we got to take one as well. What's driving Baker? And will you take the flu vaccine? Your calls, 617-266-6868. Next. 8:48 here on the great WRKO. Okay, my friends, coming up at 9 o'clock, one of the most important moves President Trump has made in his entire presidency. He has now signed an executive order that will reinstall or reimpose patriotic education in our public health school systems. We're going to have Education Secretary Betsy DeVos on to discuss this. In other words, the president is making a move to counter the left-wing indoctrination and brainwashing we're seeing in middle school, elementary school, high school, and of course, colleges and universities. Big story, big development. We've got all of that for you. She will be on at 9:01, to be specific. So don't touch that dial. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, my friends, it's all on the table. Whatever you want to talk about. Carol in Bridgewater. Thanks for holding, Carol, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
You know, since 2012, I brought up George Soros on and off, and even in private with you. George Soros basically is just for George Soros. He wants to control the world. He's referred to himself like God before. If you want to know, he invested in 2017 in three major pharmaceutical firms, which is why I think he's aligned with Charlie. Ionis, Alnylam, and Biomodern Pharmaceutical. He's tanked the pound by attacking the Bank of England before. He funds BLM and Antifa. He funded open borders. I think he was behind the EU and pushing all that. Look how it's destroyed their national ability. They have all the no-go zones. He's an evil, maniacal investor who does a reflexive type of investment. And he shorts things. He doesn't care about the individual investor. He's just a sick human being.
Carol, he clearly now is one of the billionaire backers of the insurrection, this revolution. That's what this is. This is a socialist, communist, anarchist insurrection, revolution we're seeing across the country with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Carol, what I find interesting is this, and I want to get your take. He's formed an alliance with these never Trump Republicans. I think that's why he's getting so much influence on Fox. The Republican establishment. He's close to Paul Ryan now. He's close to Mitt Romney. He supports Lindsey Graham because Lindsey Graham is pro-amnesty. Why would Republicans make a deal with the devil? They know he's a socialist. They know he's a leftist. Don't they realize they're eventually cutting their own throats?
Yes, but he funds Pelosi and them, too. You forget that he's talked about one and only a brown human race. He wanted to mix the Muslims with Europeans and create a brown race. I think he hates white, too. I think he hates not only himself and being Jewish. I think he hates society. His open society is a big farce. It's a slush fund for supporting Democrats, people like Rachel Rollins, Ayanna Pressley. He's putting all these DAs in throughout state elections to destroy them internally, to take away the police and the rule of law. He knows what he's doing. He's a sick man. And the Republicans, Mitt Romney destroyed companies. That was his job, to break them down. So why wouldn't he align with that evil, maniacal thinking? Lindsey Graham, I'm not sure. He flip-flops. He can be like the lion like Kennedy was, but yet he doesn't do enough. It seems like more rhetoric and, you know, just speaking out to be strong, but he's not doing really much about it.
That's a very, very interesting point. Carol, really good call. Thank you for that call. Look, Soros clearly has a plan, and he's executing that plan. He is a globalist through and through, and he's putting together a globalist revolution. And part of that means getting rid of Trump And if he's got to burn cities to the ground, you do what you got to do. You lead an insurrection in order to bring about the revolution. 617-266-6868. Lines are loaded. Let's go to Scott in Dorchester. Thanks for holding, Scott, and welcome.
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to give you the time, Jeff, because it's not, I don't know, I must either love you or I must be a moron. Or I must have some important information for you, brother. You finally said the word that I've been waiting for you to say for the last 2 hours. Insurrection. That is what's happening in this country right now, Jeff. And this guy, George Soros, the main cog, as they call him, right? If he becomes an enemy of the state, like Trump said, he must be assassinated. Plain and simple.
Well, he's the godfather. Scott, there's no question about it. He's the godfather. And when Trump declares BLM and Antifa a terrorist organization or terrorist movement, then you can go after their funding. And he's their top funder.
Do you know what yesterday was? A special holiday? Trump has turned it into a national holiday. It wasn't really a holiday. It was the signing of, in 1776, the Constitution of the United States of America was yesterday, and they had a big thing. Did you watch it with him and Mike?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. 1789, awesome? Scott. No, the 1776, the revolution, 1789, that's when our framers signed the Constitution. And it was an incredible event.
You are 100% correct. But another thing, Jeff, and I haven't heard you talk about this, and this was a big story, and now she's disappearing. They're literally trying to wipe her off. They wiped her off the internet and everything.
The Chinese virologist, yes, who came out and said that she's got conclusive evidence and proof.
No, she was on a show called Loose Women, and she said everything, and she has proof. She said the genetics, she saved the genetics. She has proof that this was created in the lab, in the Wuhan lab. Everything we said, it was a man-made biological weapon.
Scott, thank you very much for that call. No, I know this poor, she's a very brave woman. You know how many people got killed in China? These poor scientists and doctors who blew the whistle were mysteriously disappeared, go to jail, get executed. She's a very brave woman. She has come out and said, I've got all the smoking gun information. I was there. I know what happened. It was created in a lab in Wuhan by the Chinese military. Now, why doesn't Fox have her on? What is the media hiding? How come they're so desperate to cover up for communist China? Shouldn't the American people know this? Shouldn't the world know this? 617-266-6868. I'll tell you why. Because now it has come out that one of the major Chinese communist front groups in the United States, it's a group called the Chinese Progressive Association. They literally get all of their money from the government of communist China. They're one of their biggest lobbying groups here in the United States. Tell me, who do you think now they've been funding? Black Lives Matter. They have been pumping millions and millions of dollars into Black Lives Matter, into all of this rioting, protesting, looting. In other words, Black Lives Matter is now tied to communist China. If you're the communist Chinese, isn't this playing perfectly into your hands to see America torn apart like this? To see all of this internal chaos and anarchy and mayhem, violence on the streets, and threats of even more violence should Trump win in November? So now we know definitively that there is foreign interference in the election and there's foreign interference behind Black Lives Matter. So they're not only just a terrorist organization or movement, they're a Chinese communist-funded terrorist movement within the United States. Now, you won't see the media report that, will you? That's how evil they are. It's an unholy alliance. We're facing it from the Chinese communists right to George Soros, Black Lives Matter. This is the fight for the heart and soul of America. These aren't protests. It's an insurrection. It's a revolution. 617-266-6868. Kristen in Peabody. Thanks for holding, Kristen, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kristen?
Good. I'm nervous. It's my first time calling.
Don't be nervous. You're among friends.
With the flu vaccine, I don't think that we should have to give our children or take it ourselves. I think we should choose what we put in our own bodies as well as the COVID vaccine. They're both viruses. I think we need our own antibodies to fight off any viruses that we need that we come into contact with. I don't give my kids the flu vaccine, and I definitely won't give them the COVID vaccine. So I wanted to weigh in on that. And also, I totally agree with the Black Lives Matter with you, that they are a terrorist organization and Antifa, and they need to be stopped. And it's totally disgusting.
Kristen, you were nervous and you had no reason to be nervous. You did a great job. You are completely right. Your children, your body, your choice. You don't want to give them the vaccine or you don't want to take one. That's your right. Okay, Betsy DeVos, big interview. I'm back in 60 seconds.